Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we ask that you speak to each and every one of us, speak to us in our hearts and open our eyes so that we can see and give us a desire to follow your will. We commit this whole time into your hand. Be with us, Lord, and touch our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time, my message was four words. The first keyword is ask. The second keyword is given. The third keyword was present. And the fourth keyword was transformed. Let me quickly remind you what I shared last time. Last time I say, if we ask God, if God asks us, what is the most important thing in life? We don't even know what is the most important thing in life. But before we even ask, God has already given us the most important thing, which is eternal life. So this is the second keyword, God has already given. So once we have this eternal life, we need to present, offer ourselves before our God. And then He can do wonderful work in our lives. He will transform us into His likeness. So ask, given, present, and transformed was my message last time. So today I'm going to move on from that. Now, for those who are already believers, for those who are already in Christ, Christian, I don't know how you feel. Yes, I got eternal life, but I feel my life was so weak. I feel my life was, you know, in this sinful world, I'm vulnerable. I'm just like a tiny living sea creature in the sea, tossing around by the waves. Do you feel like that in this world? In this sinful world, maybe, I'm so weak, I can't fight against all this trial and difficulties and temptation. I am so weak. But is that true? Yes, in a way, we always feel that we are weak. There seems to be so many difficulties around us, isn't it? When you are not a Christian, you just go with everyone. But once you become a Christian, you want to stand firm for the truth or what God wants, then you can feel the pressure. Then you can feel everyone seems to be pushing you around. All these attractions from the world try to draw you away from the Lord. So even though we have eternal life, but we may feel we are weak and we need help. When you look at God's creation, you can see many wonderful parents, the birds taking care of their young, the penguin parents taking care of their little penguin. Would God leave us in a sinful world without help? If you give birth to a child, would you leave the child in a jungle with so many wild animals around? Would you just abandon a baby in the jungle? No, you won't do that. So why would God leave us, even though given us eternal life, but we have to struggle and being pushed around, turning around in this sinful world? Do we need help, Lord? We need more than eternal life. And what would that be? Well, since we accepted the Lord, we are not just having an eternal life. God put us, not only put Christ in our life, but He also put us in Christ. But not just in Christ, He also put us in a corporate life, in church, among Christians. So that's why we shouldn't feel vulnerable or left alone. Christian life is not a very lonely life. We have a family in Christ. So what about the church life we experienced? So now think about what happens in church life. What are your expectations in church life? When you come for church gathering, what do you expect? Before you answer me, I'm going to give you some help. Okay, those who are sitting at the front, beware, I may ask you, okay, think about church life, expectation. Okay, now if I'm going to a cinema, watching a movie, so I expect, what do I expect when I go to a cinema? Watching a movie, I expect to be entertained, isn't it? I'm watching a movie. So when I sit in the cinema, I won't look at the head in front of me. I'm not looking at the head in front of me, isn't it? You're looking at the screen. You want to watch a movie. So when you go to the cinema, you know what you expect, and you'll focus on that. Unless something has been done, unless something you have got it, otherwise you won't be happy. So you won't be happy going into the cinema, and even the movie has not finished, and before the word "the end" comes up, you will leave the cinema. No, you will sit until the very end, until you have finished the whole movie and enjoy the whole movie, isn't it? So this is your expectation when you go into a cinema. When you go to a restaurant, you won't sit down and drink some tea and then you leave. No, I want food. I want nice food, isn't it? So this is your expectation when you spend an hour in a restaurant. There is expectation when you spend 2 hours in a cinema, isn't it? You want to be entertained. When you go to a restaurant, you want food to enjoy it. Otherwise, you won't be happy if your stomach is still hungry. If I ask you to leave the restaurant, it's a very frustrating experience, isn't it? So you won't be happy unless you have some good food before you leave the restaurant, isn't it? So when you come to, now come back to here, when you come to church gathering, what do you expect? Anxi?
When I come to church, gathering, what do I expect?
Yes. You won't expect nice food?
I expect to learn more about God.
Learn more about God. That's a very good answer. Any more? It can be different. You want to say something? No? John? Okay, okay. John. At the front, you, yeah.
I just learned that, and also it's the environment away from that outside. You were
okay, yeah. So, what would be your expectation? Now, some people come to the church. I expect some common answer, maybe. Oh, I want to learn more about the Bible. I want to learn more about God. So if learning is your purpose, that you spend the time here, almost an hour here, you try to learn something. So what's the difference between a Bible school and a church gathering? If you want to learn something about God, you can read Bible, you can read some books at home. So why do we gather here? So some people may think church gathering or church meeting is about knowledge, about learning. So church is a spiritual school. That's what they think. Some people may think, oh, I got problems. I'm weak. If I go to the church, the sermon may help me, brothers and sisters may help me, then I become strong or stronger. So the church becomes a spiritual gym. Make me fit. Church become a spiritual clinic. If I have got problem, I'm so sad. When I come to the meeting, I sing some songs. Oh, I'm happy. I'm high again. So church becomes a spiritual clinic, spiritual gym, spiritual school. Oh, you may think something deeper. No, I come to worship God. Not what I gain, but God should have... God is worthy of praise. He gained our worship. True. He can have our prayer to Him. True, that's very true. God gained something. So at this stage, we can see something more. Not just you have something, you gain something, not expectation for you, but God has something for Himself. True. But why do we gather? You can worship at home. You can sing songs at home. Why do we have to gather together? What is so great about this meeting together? So that's why I'm going to talk about a little bit about church life. Why should we gather? And as we gather, how should we associate or relate to one another? So first of all, we must know something first. What is the church? What the church, the word comes from, so often we say, oh no, I left my umbrella at the church. So when we say, I left my umbrella at the church, we mean this building. So sometimes we refer this building as the church, but actually, if you look at the map on the table, if you look at the road map, church is about, when you look at it, it's about the building. Okay, but that's not what the Bible tells us. If you look at the church, the Greek words means, I don't know how to pronounce in Greek, but it's ecclesia, something like that, ecclesia, ek, means coming out. So in the Bible, when you look at the first ecclesia, the word mentioned is in New Testament, is in Matthew. That refers to a group calling out from something. So the church means people God called out from the world and assembled together. So Christian assembly, the assembly means gathering together. So church, what is church? Church is not a building, but church is a group of people God called out from this world to gather together for Him. So we are chosen one. God called us together for Him. Let's look at more about the church. Let's look at the passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. And He put all things, I give you some time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. So Christ is the head over all things to the church. But what about the church in verse 23? Which is His body? In here, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So now we know first picture of the church. Church is the body of Christ, which fills all and in all. So let me put it this way. Individually, Christ changed us, our life has eternal life, so we may have this precious life shine like a diamond. So in your working place, brothers and sisters, you may shine for our Lord like a diamond. But when all these diamonds gather together, fitted together, and becomes what? Becomes a necklace, becomes a crown. It shows the fullness of Him. Shows the fullness of God. So why do we gather? As we gather, we are showing the fullness of our God. Let me put it in another way. So when I got friends from overseas, from Hong Kong, come to visit me, when it is time near Easter, I would always like to bring them to Easter show. Why do I bring them to Easter show? Because in Hong Kong, you don't often see many agricultural products. If I want to show them the abundance, the richness of Australia or Sydney, go to Easter show. You can see different kinds of apples. You can see different kinds of oranges, the wool, the honey, all this, the richness of the land, the abundance. You don't have to spend driving an hour to strawberry farm, pineapple farm, blah, 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 blah. You don't have to go around the whole state, but in that little place, the display is there. You can see all the richness of the land. The fullness of the land is all assembled in one place, Easter Shoal, there. So in there, I can see the fullness of the land. So where can I see God's mercy? Where can I see God's grace? Where can I see God's patience among us as Christians assembles together? How they interact with one another, how they serve one another. Maybe we have a sharing meeting. It shouldn't be awkward silence. It should be pouring out. Someone shared, we can see God's mercy. Someone shared, we can see God's wisdom. Someone shared, we can see God's grace. So all this sharing is just pouring out all together. If I'm a non-believer and I come to the meeting, I can see all this spiritual blessing among God's people. I can see the fullness of Him in here. So as we gathered, just like a happy time, just like Easter show, just like gathering of God's richness together and display it to the whole world. And in another picture, when the dam collecting the water is full, if you don't let the water run out, it will burst, isn't it? The dam can't hold that much water. How will it open? There's an opening there called the floodgate. When the water comes to a certain level, too full, you have to open the floodgate and the water rushed out. So these are called the floodgates. The floodgates speaks of the fullness of the dam. So as we gathered, when you open your mouth, when you open your mouth in singing, when we open our mouth in sharing, it's the floodgates, it's the heavens opening through our life. We open ourselves and we can see God's fullness among us. So as we gather, this is such a glorious time to display God's richness on this land. The whole land full of sin, just like a wilderness. But where can we find life? Where can we find grace and mercy? Where can we find kindness? It's when God's people gathered. People can see there is richness there. I remember when I first became Christian. When I know a Christian, he seems to be a very joyful person to me. So I'm interested to know more about that person. And that person brings me to a group of Christians. And then we have fellowship together. And afterwards, even though I have many things, I want to challenge their ideas about God. But in a way, this group gathering together, their happiness, their singing of the song, their studying the Bible, really attract me. Oh, there must be something there. There seems to be joy coming from this group of people. I was attracted to this group of people. So this is the richness of God. This is the blessing as we gathered. This is my expectation. Or this is God's expectation as we, the people of God, gather together. We want to display God's mercy among us. Another picture. Just now we talk about He is the head, isn't it? And we are His body. So without the body, how can the richness, the wisdom of the head can be displayed, isn't it? So imagine Beethoven, if he has only got a head, how can he play the music, the symphony for us, isn't it? He needs the hand to play the music. An artist, he has all this idea, the beauty, the coloring, the technique, but without the hand, how can he draw beautiful pictures? So the body can express the richness, the wisdom in the head. So our head is in heaven, God is in heaven, but he needs a body on earth to express His richness, His fullness, So we are that body on earth. So do you see why God put us here when we think, God, why do you abandon us on this sinful world? We are vulnerable. No. God wants us to display His richness, display His patience, His kindness, His blessing on earth to draw more people to come to know Him. So that's our mission on earth. So don't think you are weak. No, we should gather together and be strong in Christ and testify for our God. So this is why, one of the reasons why we gathered. Now let's have a look about another picture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Now, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the households of God. Households of God means can also means the family of God. It's on the foundation of the prophets, apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. Now there are two more pictures here. The first picture is the body. The second picture is the household or the family of God. The third picture I would like you to pay attention is the a whole structure or a building built. Notice the word built. It's building. A structure grows. This building can grow. Making extensions is more than making extension, isn't it? Grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The temple, why do we need a temple? It's for a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So another picture. No matter it's a body, no matter it's a family, or the church is also the temple for the Lord, for He to dwell among us. Where is God? People may say, show me God. Well, come to the meeting. This is His address on earth. When people gather together, we are His representative. People can know God when they come among us. Because we are, all the believers, we are built together. Now notice, this building has not yet finished. It's still under construction. That means as we gathered, not only that we have to display God's richness and fullness, we also are under the construction process. Building one another up as well. So don't forget, this is a very important point as well. As we gathered, we are building each other in Christ. Now, let's go back to the family thing. Talking about the family, God's family. So when we, if you ask somebody, what do you do in church? So if you invite friends to come, oh, come to our meeting. Come to the church meeting, they'll ask you, so what do you do there? Well, we sing songs, we listen to the sermon, we pray, and we have morning tea together. So we are so focused on the activities. So if you focus on the activities, then you say, okay, I attend the meeting, I sing the song just now, I listen to the sermon, this is my expectation. I finished, then I'll go. So if you just think about the activities, I have done that, then I can go. So you have a very low expectation about church life. It's much more than that. Church life is not about activities. If I ask you, when you go home, what do you do? Well, I eat my dinner. After school, I go home, I eat my dinner. I watch TV and then I go back to my sleep. So in terms of activities, so I'll ask you, what is family life? Family life is eating and sleeping. If you just focus on, so sometimes the parents at the dinner table, well, I was a teenager, I think it differently. Nice food from dad or mom. Thank you, nice food. Finish all, and then, okay, enjoy myself. I don't have to do the dishes sometimes. And then, at night time, I just go to bed. And so for me, when I was a teenager, Family life is just eating, enjoying myself, resting, relax, relax, relax. Family life is relax, enjoying. So in terms of activities, it's like that. But when I became a parent, I want more. So when my kids sit around the table, what happened today? How is school? Good. How's your day? Good. And nothing much? I don't know much about that. So in fact, in my life, family life is more than activities. I want to know more about their lives. I want to know their struggle. I want to help them. I want to care them. I want to show more concern about their lives. I want to share to them. Sometimes I share about what happens in my past. Family life is not about sitting around the table, okay, I'm going to teach you about the Bible. Let's open the Bible to Genesis chapter 1. No, sitting around the table is not for preaching. So that's why we don't want our parents talk to us, teach us a lot during the dinner time, isn't it? So what would be family life? Family life is not about the activity. It's much more about caring for one another. Family life is about showing love, concern with one another, forgiving one another, loving one another. It's more about this, not the activities. Why do I cook for you? Not just putting food in your mouth. Because I want to show you the love. Why do I have to chop the mushroom into such a fine, nice looking, good presentation to you? I want you to enjoy the food. It's the love behind. It's not just eating, chopping. It's not just a duty. So many often Christians come to the church meeting as a duty. Okay, I've done this. I listen. I sing. I prayed. I shared. And then I go. No. Do you know the one sitting next to you? Do you concern about them? Do you love them? Or do you let others know about you? Would you open yourself to them? That's more about church life. Talking about family, the Bible talks about family life as well. If you think about the first family conflict, it's in Genesis, how the brothers, Cain and Abel, Cain got jealous with Abel and he killed his brother. Yes, we are God's family, but there may be conflicts in the family. Why are there conflicts in the family? As God's people, we gather. We are God's family. But would there be conflicts in the family? Actually, not just in the Bible. Let's look at what first place in the Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and 4. Another conflict in the family. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age and he made him a robe of many colors. So Joseph has got 11 brothers, but his father loved him most and gave him a robe of many colors. And when his brother saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. So jealousy is within the family, can happen in the family. I don't have such strong feelings about jealousy because I'm the only son in my family. I got 3 sisters, so I always feel that I'm the beloved son. Okay, so I don't have jealousy problem. But among the sisters, they may have, I don't know. But sometimes I can feel, they are saying something, referring to me. I seem a little bit sarcasm there. It seems that I'm a little bit of jealousy I can taste there. I'm not sure. But jealousy is a very real thing. Do you have jealousy? Where does jealousy come from? Jealousy always comes from self-love. Am I important? When you don't feel you are valuable, precious in your father's heart. That's why, hey, how come only he got the many colors robe? How come I don't have it? Then when you compare to another sibling, jealousy may come. Am I important? Am I significant? You ask this question. And then jealousy may come. So, later on, if we read Genesis, it seems very strange. The brothers no longer have jealousy towards one another. Why? It's very interesting to look at there. But I just mentioned it a bit. Because as they moved on, their hearts changed and turned. Because of God's work among them, their hearts changed and turned to love their father more. It's not the father changed his mind, no longer showing partiality. No, the father still is showing partiality towards Joseph and Benjamin. But the other brothers don't seem to care that much. They seem to care about the heart of the father. If the father is happy, so be it. He's the precious son, so be it. We should treasure Benjamin as well. So in the end, the brothers forget about their self-love and has the love of the father and love of their brother. So what makes the conflict is when you love yourself more than loving your brothers and sisters. If you love God and love brothers and sisters more, then this self-love, this conflict can solve. Let's look at another passage in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Again, Christians compare with other Christians. So I wonder, if you sit here, would you compare to other brothers and sisters? If we look at chapter 12, verse 15. Now, Paul was giving us a picture. If the foot should say, now part of the body, isn't it? The foot say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of a part of the body. Now look at the foot seems to be envy about the hand. I'm not as good as the hand. The foot, a little bit jealous maybe, think hand is more important. Since I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body. He's happy to be foot. And look at the verse 16. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye. So the ear was a bit jealous of the eye. So he say the same thing as well. I do not belong to the body. That will not make it less a part of the body. Still, you are a part of the body. It's different. Can you see? Foot, hand, ear, eye. All different. All have their own importance. All have their functions. You can't say, because I'm not as good as Judith. I can't play that much. I can't play piano at all. So, thank God, we are different. God gave her the gifts. God gave you different gifts. Just be faithful with the gifts you have. So in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So what you have, who you are, is God arranged. You have your special. You are unique in the body of Christ. No one can replace you. Okay, let's get further on. Verse 20. Can we go further down? Verse 20. Now, another picture. As it is, there are many parts, but yet one body. Now, another picture. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. This time, the eye think he's not envy or jealous with the hand. He thinks he's more important than the hand. So sometimes you look, oh, I'm not as good as him. And then you look at another, oh, I'm much better than that guy. He has no use. So it's another picture. So I have no need of you, nor again head to the feet. So eye to the hand, head to the feet, I have no need of you. If you think, oh, we don't need him here, he's got no use, she has no use, well, that's not the body. On the contrary, the parts of the body that may seem to be weaker are the indispensable. We need them. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. You treasure them as well. So as we gather God's family, there should be harmony here so that we can display God's richness. But what happens if, oh, but he speaks so well, but she shares so well, she prays so well. I'm jealous, I'm not happy, I won't pray because I can't pray as good as them. Then you are thinking about yourself. This is self-love. This will hinder you. This will hinder the body to manifest God's glory because of this self-love. So we need to change. We need to be changed. Before I move on, think about the inner part in your heart. Do you ever have such feeling? Later on, when there are group meeting for the high school people, you can share about your feeling when you come to the church meeting. Do you compare? Do you have bad feeling about concerning other people, or do you have jealousy problem in your heart? Do you ever feel you are insignificant? You have no use? Or do you think he has no use, she has no use? Do you have ever have such thinking in your life? Okay, if you don't have such negative thing, how about you contribute to other people? How about your sharing? What's hindering your sharing? Do you experience God in your life? Do you want to share about God in your life? Think about all this, so that as we gathered, we expect something which is great. Not just attending the meeting, but when we gathered, we want to know God. We want to serve him. We want to experience his grace and mercy. So we need our minds needs to be keep changing. Can we look back at Romans chapter 12, which we have read last time, when I shared with you last time, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present, remember last time I shared the third word is present, key words, your body as a living sacrifice. So you offer yourself, you're not just thinking about yourself. Think about the whole body, so many cells. You know, each cell won't think about just for himself. The white blood cell may sacrifice himself to protect the whole body. So you're no longer just thinking about yourself. Living sacrifice, present yourself holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. This world, everybody think of themselves. Self-love, self-importance. All you do is concerning about lifting up yourself. People recognize you. People say good things about you. People praise you. All you think about is raising up yourself. But in here, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You change your mind. You won't no longer think about myself, my glory. People know about me. No. You may discern what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. So if we go down Romans chapter 13 or 14 or 12, it tells more about body life. So when you present yourself to God, you no longer thinking about individual, just a single person, you alone. No. When God saved you, he put you in the body. And God's blessing, glory, is going to shone through the body of Christ on earth. So when you're in the body, when you live a body life in Christ, there may be conflict. If you still possess the mind of self-love, So that's why the renewing of your mind is important. Renewal of your mind. So you no longer think about yourself. Ah, me first, me first, me first. No. God first. Christ first. His body, His glory. So this is our expectation. Not just attending the meeting, not just singing some songs, not just activities. But as we gathered, we expect to meet God. We expect God be glorified and exalted, His name be exalted. So in summary for what I shared, God saved us, delivered us, nurtured us. Where? In the body of Christ. And in this body, every one of you who are in Christ, who are believers, we have responsibility. God gives you talents. You have functions in here. The building is under construction. You can find your part. If you want to serve God, oh, I can take the chairs. I can pick up the songbook afterwards. It's not just doing something, but showing your love, your care to the body of Christ. People come and say, hey, how come these people so voluntarily serving God? They will recognize something is special among these people. So as we gather, we want to help one another, not just receive help, not just listening to sermon. We want to build each other up so that God, we can testify God. God can show forth His glory among us. People can see God's character among us. So church life is not just activities. So if you don't think just come, sit, listen and go, it's not the activities. It's about your hearts. It's about your attitudes towards brothers and sisters. Maybe after the meeting, you can say hi to a brother or sister, and you can share with that brother and sisters, and then through the sharing, you can see how God's working in his life, his need. You can pray for him in your heart. So this fellowship, so don't look down upon it's not just social gathering at the deck. It's a chance for knowing each other, caring for one another. So this is, we should have some expectation there. Not just, why do you come to the morning tea? Oh, I know that there's some interesting biscuits there. Nice biscuits, nice tea. No, how about nice people? How about brothers and sisters that you want to know them, to see them, to encourage them, helping them one another? So don't think this is something, actually this is a very important thing when you become a Christian. I would say this is your call in the body to serve the body of Christ. This is your call, this is your mission. So God put you here not so that you can be an engineer, not to become an architect, not to become a millionaire, scientist, doctor. No, your call on earth is not to have such profession. Your call on earth, our call on earth, is to exalt Him as a body, as God's family. This is our call. This is important. So it's not the activities, but more about your heart. So we come not just trying to make friends. We want to have spiritual bondage, spiritual relationship, interact with one another. Not just, I make friends at school. I'm a very popular person. I make friends at school. I make friends in here. Not just common friendship, but within our relationship, God is there. I like Brother Stephen Kwong when he said about what is service. Service is imparting, not knowledge. It's imparting Christ. So may our interaction, may our friendship is imparting Christ to one another. When I know about you, when I care about you, I'm not just showing love of that person, but people can feel, oh, this is love of Christ. This is love of Christ. This is kindness. This is patience of God. So we are imparting, we are serving Christ in our life, imparting Christ in our life. So this is my message. If I ask you again, what is your expectation in church life? What is your expectation? Just attending? No. No. But what would be your answer? It's not my answer. My answer may be different from yours. You may have different expectation. Oh, I come to see my friends. Well, I was called and chosen to come. My parents picked me up and dropped me here. What is your expectation? May the Lord speak to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you saved us, giving us eternal life. But thank you that we become your body. We become your family, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We pray that everyone can see our position in you and will be faithful and in our position to serve you in the body. Help us to love one another. Out of this love, teach us to serve and care for one another. We don't want to waste our time before you. We want every meeting, every gathering, you will be exalted. You are glorified and honored. Lord, this is our prayer. Change our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.